Let's just I shared with you guys on the chat another quote. Maybe Christine, can you please read it? It's in the chat.
To benefit beings is to benefit me. To harm beings is to harm me. Just as a mother rejoices when someone is helpful to her child, my heart gladdens when someone is helpful to any being. Just as a mother is distressed when someone harms her child, my heart is distressed when someone harms any being.
Thank you so much, Christine. This is attributed to the Buddha himself, the verse that we just read right now. And this is really the bread and butter for our attitude that we have throughout this text, from the first text, from the first verse all the way to the last verse. It's the whole way that we approach life. Yeah. So if we go again and we see, like, when I actually want to benefit others, because by doing that, I'm actually being kind to myself. And it's like many times we come with this idea that if I'll give someone else, and if I will benefit someone else, I will have less. Yeah. So if you will have more, I will have less. And we are in this mindset. And this is the mindset that we are living in. It's a deep, deep conditioning. It's funny, like, because if we go to someone like Maimonides, which is Shira is here, Israeli. You probably know him, Rambam. And it's good. Actually, he's such a great philosopher. He influenced me so much in the text that he wrote, very, very diverse texts. So if you want to look for him, Shira will write for us on the chat, like the name in English, Maimonides. He is saying, Maimonides, that there is limited resources of things, then human beings start to fight over this resource. Yeah, let's say we have gold. Yeah, so it's like we don't have like so much. We have just like a kind of a limited amount of gold. And then people start like saying, if I will have a lot of gold, because there is a limited amount, if I will have a lot, it means that you will have less. And if you will have a lot, I will have less. So my interest is to have a lot. So indirectly, my interest is that you will have less. So it's like our whole society, and in a way, capitalism is based on, I will have a lot. And basically it's better that I will have a lot because then you will have less. Or you will have less, and it's better that you will have less because I will have a lot. Yeah. So then Maimonides is going into some very interesting argument. He's saying, okay, then we'll go to, but if we think about it, gold, like, it's not really necessary. There is a limited amount of that, but it's not necessary for our living. Yeah, we can live without gold. We can have amazing life without gold. Like, I mean, on the survival level, I don't mean now with the new order of money and everything like that. And then he goes further on, he say, okay, we have a limited amount of food. But still, we can have like enough for everyone. This is something that we already discussed on. We have a limited amount of water. He says something really interesting. We don't have a limited amount of air. We can all breathe, yeah? And this is the thing that we need the most. And it's not a win-lose situation like we have described before. It's not like if I will have more air, you will have no air. It's like we can just share the air. And basically, I can even inhale and then I exhale it to you. Unfortunately, through Zoom, it's not really working. And then you will inhale the same exhalation that I have just exhaled. So it's all, it's mixing everything together now. Now it's not anymore a win-lose situation. Now it's a situation where I receive, but I give what I have received, and everyone can take what I just gave. And it's a exchange that is happening all the time. And this is basically Tonglen. And this is the meditation that we were describing last time. And I really ask you guys, if you haven't seen that last video, please watch that. We will put it online as soon as possible. And this will help you also with the meditation that we are going to do today. So similarly, if we go back to the argument of Maimonides. Yes, great. Thank you, Shira, for putting it on the chat. If we go to the argument of Maimonides, he says another thing. He says something really interesting, and this is Maimonides, and I will make kind of an argument that Tibetan Buddhism would say, and I use Maimonides in order to explain actually Tibetan Buddhism. So Maimonides is saying, after air, he's saying, there is one thing in the world that if you give from, you're not depleted. It's like you will not be able to be in this win and lose situation. There is another thing that is super important. And actually, when you give it, you can have more of it. And when some other people have more of that, it means that you will have more of that. And these things, according to Maimonides, is knowledge. So Maimonides is saying most of the thing in the world, the materialistic, especially the materialistic things in the world are limited. Therefore, they bring us into win-lose situation. If I have more, you have less, and so on. Then we gave the example of air, which is the most necessary for our existence, but it's available for everyone, and we are having a play with that. And it's very similar to Tonglen. And then he's saying, but we have knowledge, and this knowledge, if I will give you some knowledge that I know, things that I know, you will know more. And just by the thinking process of this person that knows more, I will know more, and no one loses. It's a win-win situation. So we go from a win-lose situation to a win-win situation. If I share my knowledge, I know more, and the other people know more, but it's not limited. Knowledge is infinite. So therefore, you cannot, it's not, there is a limited amount of knowledge, and then you can just keep it. Just if you get something, then the other person will not get it. Yeah, you can, it's vast and infinite, and there is no opportunity, or there is no chance that it will be a win-lose situation. And the Tonglen would say something very, very similar about love. They would say something very, very similar about unconditional love. They would say, when we give love, the other people benefit from this love. And I benefit from this love, because when they have more love, I have more love. Because we are in the same mandala. You remember we spoke about the mandala last time? We're in the same mandala. So if I'm more powerful, in this way of love, they are more powerful as well in my mandala, and it's kind of feeding each other. And we go back to the breathing that we said before. So it's like, as much as I give more, I can receive more, because every time I give, I receive. This is a law of nature. And this is something that is very much represented by our breath. Our breath is like that. We cannot inhale and exhale we cannot inhale without exhale. We cannot take, inhaling, taking. Now I try to hold it and not to give it away. It's like I will not be able to do that. It will not be, I will not be successful in doing that. Maybe for 1 minute, maybe if I'm very, very stubborn, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, but that's it. I need to give it away. And after giving it away, I cannot only give. I have to receive. So it's a giving and receiving constantly from the moment that we start our life to the moment that we finish our life. First thing that a baby is doing, and some of you know probably much better than I do, is that the baby is inhaling. First action of a baby is to inhale. Maybe the most difficult thing in their life, in each person's life. And last thing that we do, you know, we see it in movies, and some of you have seen it in person, is exhalation. So we start our life with taking, with receiving, our soul is charged, or whatever we call it, and at the end of life, we give it away. But in between, from the moment that we are born to the moment that we die, it will be a constant exchange of energy. Now, Maimonides gives the example of knowledge, but as I said, the Tibetan would say it's unconditional love, and this is the true nature of who we are. Now, it's also the true nature of the life force. So the earth, according to Tibetan Buddhism, is alive. It's not something that is dead. It's not something that is like, have no life. It's vibrant and alive, and it's the a source of all energy. And the earth itself is loving. The universe itself is loving. This is the nature of the universe, is loving. So if I am looking at the way that the universe is, whatever I need for my survival is provided by the universe. Yeah. It's that we have food, we have water, we have places for shelter. It's all provided by the universe. And this is an expression of love. And the energy that we have, our life force, is exactly the same like this love of the universe. So we are actually taking in each and every time that we inhale, we take in love. And each time that we exhale, we take out love. Now there is something you can say, and if you wish, you can just like say it. You can say, hey, dude, what are you speaking about? So it's like I'm breathing oxygen. I'm all the time complaining. What kind of love do you mean? Like that is going in and going out. And this is exactly right. It's a really fair question. And because we have completely forgotten that this is what we are doing. Yeah, it's like as if we haven't discovered yet that the universe is love, that we inhale love, and that we exhale love. It's like we are living in an illusion that things are not like that and things are very different. And we have been in a process of centuries of becoming detached from this truth. Yes, and what happened, and I also explained that in previous classes, we analyze everything with our mind and we become so blind to reality as it is. Yeah, we analyze things, we make scientific evidence for everything and so on and so on. We forgot it's like what's really in our experience. We are not allowed anymore to experience just as an experience. We have always the experience coupled with analyzing the experience and being judging the experience and having mental commentary about the experience. And we don't have any direct experience anymore with life. Even if we take the whole attitude of the Western world today, science and the academy, it's all about learning about something. Yeah, you go to the academy and you learn about psychology, you learn about science, you learn about philosophy, you learn about all of these things, and you're not really learning the thing itself. Yes? So it's like we don't really have the experience of the thing. We are learning about it. It's like we just observe the thing and we're not experiencing it really. So we have become detached from this truth that our life is love. Yeah? And that the energy that we have in our body is love. And I am comfortable of saying all of these things to you guys because I know that you are with us for a while and you know the experience of feeling strong in your body and feeling the energy in your body and seeing this is something else. This is something that we don't usually experience. And this thing is actually sacred. Yeah. It's like this power that we have in us, this energy that we have in us, this space that we have in us, the awareness that we have in us is infinite. And it's loving. Yeah? But we are kind of denying that. And I'm saying we, but I think like we as a group, like the people that are listening right now, the people that listen later on, I think very much open to it already and feel that already. How powerful it is to be alive and to have the sacred infinity in us. And Tong Leng is all about using it. That's it. Just using that. It's like taking the veil away, like opening up and saying, wow, this is in me. I can give it away. And by giving it away, I'm actually making myself even stronger. And then I receive it again. I hope that it's helpful. Any thoughts about that? So just as a mother rejoices when someone is helpful to her child, my heart gladdens when someone is helpful to any being. Yeah, it's like we go back to what Carmen was asking last time, and it was really, really powerful comment from her side. And this is why I brought this verse as well. Like, see, it's like, can we be happy for others? Yeah, exactly like the mother is happy when her child is happy, can I be happy when someone else that I don't know is happy? And this is so powerful, because then I'm getting into this feeding, I'm getting into this frequency of love, this vibration of love. It's a whole different vibration. It's not anymore like the way that many times we live our life, when it's like it's all about criticism and like it's all about being disconnected and being not clear in our messages and so on and so on. So many things that is going on. It's like I live in a frequency when I really live in a frequency of happiness. Yeah. There is a nice, beautiful chat between Ellen Wallace and Tanzin Palamo on YouTube. They speak for half an hour about happiness. We were speaking about these things in the last few weeks. I will share with you before this meditation will finish, before this class will finish this video. Really recommended to watch. And they have so much experience for so many years. They describe it in a very beautiful way. Exactly these things that we have spoke about in the last few weeks of happiness does not mean being hedonic or having a lot of pleasure. So you live in this frequency of happiness when you are in this frequency of love. And you really seek for happiness. For others, for everyone. It's genuine bodhicitta. This is the bodhicitta. When we are really, really happy in seeing other people happy, in seeing, and we are really painful, it's really painful for us when we see other people suffering. Yeah? It's like we don't walk and it's like we see someone suffering and we ignore it. We see it and we feel it. We share the pain with them. And when we see someone happy, we share the happiness with them. Yeah, it's really necessary. People like that, that are able to do that, are very, very necessary in this lifetime. So if we go again to the meditation, what we will be able to say is that we choose first few moments of the meditation. I will ask you to really feel your body. And we are going to connect to the bodhicitta in the heart. Yeah. The next verse, by the way, will be the second application of a bodhicitta. This is the first application of bodhicitta. Relative bodhicitta. We will speak about, there is a relative bodhicitta and the absolute bodhicitta. And this is the first one, the first of the application of the relative bodhicitta, which is Tonglen. So we first just connect to the heart. The people that were in the 21 days know already, but I will guide you through it. We will connect to the heart, we'll do some breathing to the heart. And why? Because the heart is the seat of bodhicitta. It's the literally is the seat, is the spiritual heart. It's not the physical heart on the left side, it's the center of the heart. And the bodhicitta is this frequency that we were speaking about just a moment ago. When we are connected to this frequency, there is nothing that can harm us. So even if we will inhale the suffering of others, nothing will happen to us because we are connected to something very infinite and completely enlightened. Yeah. And then, after this, after connection to the heart, what we will do is I'll guide you through inhaling black, claustrophobic energy, anxiety, anger, and exhaling calm, relaxed, light, beautiful energy, just for a couple of minutes. Then I will ask you to choose a person that you know in your life and you care about. And to begin with today, you can start, like, we can do the meditation, we can have a recording of the meditation, and you can do the meditation every week for something, someone else. Yeah. So there is many, many different people that you can put there. You can put a person that you know to be suffering right now. And then it's like that. You can even put a pet or an animal there, any sentient being. You can think about a relative. You can think even about someone who have expired. It doesn't have to be someone that is with us, the body is with us. It's very powerful. I do it all the time to my father, who passed away a long time ago, and doing this exchange. And I'm being able to communicate with him in this way, to receive from him, to give to him. And you can put someone that you don't like as well. You can put someone that you don't like. If there is like an issue at work, and you can feel like, oh, this person is making me crazy, try to bring this person into this space and to feel their suffering. They suffer. If they make you suffer, probably they are suffering themselves. You say, if I'm not suffering, why should I make other people suffer? Yeah. If I'm happy, why should I make you feel not happy? I need to be a complete psychopath to do that. Yeah? Most people, when they are happy, they don't make any trouble. People that make us crazy are people who suffer. And you are willingly sharing a moment with their suffering, with inhalation. And then with exhalation, you give all the positive vibe that you can to this person. Another person that you can choose, and you say to yourself, like, and which is a fair point, and some days I will definitely do that as well. I try to do Tonglang on a daily basis. And some days I would say, you know what? Today I feel very vulnerable. I feel like I don't want to bring anyone to my heart. I will do it just for myself. Yeah. Can say, I don't want anyone else now. I need just myself. And I bring bring an image of myself, like from yesterday or from the feeling that I feel right now. And I inhale the suffering that I have and I experience them. And then I will really wish to myself and give myself the best beautiful light. With exhalation. This is the first or the second stage of the meditation. The third stage will ask you to expand that to all the people that suffer in the same way as the person that you put in your heart. So it will be like let's say I put myself and I suffered from loneliness, then I put all the people that suffer from loneliness and I inhale all their suffering into my heart. And I exhale from my infinite heart all the good vibes and good vibration and happiness to all the people that feel lonely. Yeah. What it does, and this is, you will have your own process with that. To just share a bit from my own process. What it does is like you start seeing how many people are suffering in the same way. And you start to see connection between people that you haven't seen before. And you start to see just the human suffering. It's really powerful to see that. And the last stage is basically to expand that as well in to actually bring all the suffering of all sentient beings into our heart with inhalation and exhale happiness to all sentient beings. Yeah. Does it sound fair enough or clear enough? Any things that we need to cover before we start this meditation?
I don't know if my question is good for now. Hi.
If it's not for now, we can answer later, but you can ask.
Yeah. I know this, it sounds very, very kind and very beautiful. And I get some good feelings when I hear this kind of view. And I know that in my normal life, it's not, it doesn't work for me always. I hope in the meditation I have, I think in the meditation it can be work. I mean, it will work. But in my life, as you said, that share love. Doesn't matter if you share love, you always have enough love like knowledge. And this is actually the basic for the life. And I realized that maybe because of some structural structures, it doesn't work. Maybe it is not really love what we give. I don't know exactly. Maybe it's from ego, or maybe we want something especially to get back. But I think about the codependency, when love is a problem actually, or it's not maybe love, I don't know. So this is my question in general. And the other thing that when I think about there are everything enough for everyone, this is also understandable. But when I think, okay, maybe I need something else than another person, like this is my very actual problem with my neighbors, you know, maybe that they are very loud. And actually, it is like, okay, I thought also maybe they suffer. Yeah, it is possible that someone is suffering and makes so many noises. And I think it is more social, a social issue, how to manage it. And I would be so happy when I can lose it, I mean, with the meditation. So I'm very open to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Anson. Yeah, so I will answer at least the first one. When we do the practice, we can actually experience that in our life, in our day-to-day life. Yeah, so it's like we practice. It's like a practice that we do like any other practice. And then it becomes much more present in our life in any way. So this is the first one. The second one as well, yes, definitely, you are right. And we need to speak about that. What is love and what is unconditional love? Yeah. So it's like just before we start the meditation, unconditional love is not, because we say the same word, love, for many, many different things. Yeah. So it's like I love, I don't know, bananas. I don't really like bananas, but I love coconuts. I love coconuts. I really love coconuts. And I love pazit. Yeah. Is it the same love? Yeah. And I love myself. Is it the same love? It's very, very difficult to go with one word for all of these things. But actually the love that we speak about is even higher than that. It's the nature of who we are. It's just like a radical acceptance of life itself. Yeah, it's like it's being alive. Yeah, it's like it's taking in life. It's being in the world completely immersed in an experience. This is the love that we speak about. Yeah, and we give this kind of genuine experience to everyone. And it's that we take ourselves away. If we go back to the verse that we had last week and the parallel verse from Kabbalah that I was reading, to receive love we need to transform the desire to receive love just for oneself in order to receive love the way that we receive love in order to share. We actually take ourselves out of the equation and we become a vessel of the universe itself. So I know that it sounds very esoteric and it's very difficult to speak about it without really experiencing all of these things. But I can tell you for sure that this can be experienced. When you take your own wishes and the desire for the self alone and all of these things away and the ego away, and you feel really that like the universe is speaking from you and that you are much, much vaster than just like being Kobe the handsome guy. Yeah, so the desire to receive for the self alone limits us into love, which is conditioned. Because if I want, I love you only when you love me back, or I love you only when you will look in a certain way, or I love you only when you say things that I resonate with, then it's not the love that we are speaking about. It's just a conditioned state. It's like, if you will give me that, I will give you that. It's a win-lose situation like we were describing just before. But if we are in this state of taking the ego away from the equation, there is nothing that I need at that moment from you. I don't even need an object for love. The bodhicitta, we practice it with an object, but we don't really need an object for love. Love is not towards something. Love is a state of being. You just love. And whatever is there will be in this energy field of love. It doesn't matter what it will be. Yeah? It's not like, only if it's beautiful, I will let you in. Only if it's attractive, I will let you in. It's whatever it will be okay. And you will just be there and hold it in the space. So it's a very natural expression of ourselves without the ego playing part. So it's like a complete surrender to your whole mandala. You become your whole mandala. You become your whole mandala, and then it's like you just breathe in and breathe out the whole mandala. You breathe in the whole mandala in, and you breathe out the whole mandala out. Yeah? So Aristotle speaks about it in the Greek philosophy, how God is an entity that thinks itself. And we can say, and I think I came across with that in some of the tantric texts, God is an entity that breathes itself. So you breathe in, you breathe out, you breathe in the whole world, and you breathe out the whole world. And it's not... It's like you are completely right. It's not a lovey-dovey stuff. It's not like, well, now this kind of nice love and like pink poodles and stuff like that. Yeah, it's more of a expression of a natural state without all the cares, without all the gain and fame and worldly concerns that we have usually. Yeah. So I think I told you before about this person, and it's like a last story, and then we can do the meditation. Some Tibetan Lama was in the West, was going in the street, and someone came to rob him and pointed the gun at him. And this Lama was so much trained in loving kindness, that the love that came out of him was so overwhelming. And he just, like, as a response to the gun, he just bowed to the to this poor guy. And this robber just didn't know what to do with himself. He threw the gun away and started running away from the Lama. Yeah? So it's like, he never experienced this kind of attitude, this kind of being, that someone is treating him like that. It's really loving him in this way. It was so scary for him. And it's like, and he couldn't even imagine like hurting this person anymore after experiencing his bow and his reaction.
I wanted to just toss in that for those of us who have met your sister, Mayan, she really is what you're talking about. And it's nice to know someone. I mean, not that you and Posit are not also, but she, I don't know, I just keep thinking about her the whole time you're talking.
Beautiful. I cannot agree more than that. She's here. She's listening to what you're saying, and I'm really happy that you said that. And it's not coming from me. It's coming from you guys. Yes, definitely. She's done the work, and this is why she is such. I have never met. I've been to. And without, like, I'm not trying to show off or something, but I've studied with the best teachers. I've been to the best therapists. I never seen a therapist like Maya. It's something else. She's got something that she cracked the system in a way. She knows, she's like kind of became much more than just a therapist would be an insult for her. She and I really think you're right. And she've done this work of like, there is no ego involved. There is no gain for her from this situation. It's just about others. It's just about like, how do I expand myself and not think about myself, just about myself.
One day I asked her, you know, aren't you exhausted? You're just seeing people back to back. And she even said to me, but I breathe this. I need this to live. I would not be able to live without doing. And I've just always remembered that. And she just embodies it. It's very helpful to have her in my mind.
Yes, I will ask her maybe if she agrees that to send a picture, and we can all put this picture in our house. It would be so good.
Great. That would be great.
I just had a photo of her today with our dog. Maybe she will agree for this one.
Oh, good, good. That would be great, Kobe. Well, yes, talk about love and light. Your sister has it.
Yes. Big time, big time.
Yeah, yes. All right, thanks.
Okay, so yeah, is it clear? Can we go to the meditation? Okay, let's do it. Like we'll sit in a position, any position. It can be on the chair as well. You don't have to sit on a cushion. You can can sit on a chair. And just for our purposes, I will make another recording just for the meditation. So if you want to do just the meditation without listening to the whole thing again, you can do it. So I'll stop the recording and record again for the meditation.